Bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for all that you've done, the liberty we've had an opportunity to experience because you gave it to us. You dealt with our sins, and you gave us life. Oh, Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, in our nation, this is the weekend of the 4th, and just reflecting on that too, Father, that we might be able to bring something of value from it all, as only you can do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to look at one verse and then launch out into the wild blue yonder, because it's the 4th of July weekend and you have to do a 4th of July message. We have one book left to do, and we'll be done all the books of the Bible, and it's Zechariah. It's not going to be next week, because next week Jason Van is coming, Jason and Anna, and Jason's going to be preaching next week. He texted me and asked what he should be preaching on. I said, well, sin always works. Something that covers everybody. But I said, whatever the Lord lays on your heart. So that should be good. That's next Sunday. And then the Sunday after that, we'll get that last of the 66 books. And we'll have done a book report on every book of the Bible. And then after that, if I'm still here, we're going to do the names of God. That's going to take us into Christmas probably. So that's the plan, subject to change. I can't even give the announcement. So Galatians 1:4. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Written to the Galatians almost 2,000 years ago, to explain to them exactly what the gospel message was. It's about, first of all, God gives. God gives. God's not a taker, God's a giver. And God has given us eternal life. He's given us his Son sacrificed on Calvary. It was all planned before the foundation of the world. There's no new information for God. God is God. Our sin nature, that is a problem. That's a big problem. It's an ongoing problem. We won't get away from that problem until we get out of this flesh of ours. So he gave himself for our sins, something that we could not do for ourselves. And to deliver us from this present evil age. They live in an evil age, and we live in an evil age. Some people say it's awful how bad the world's getting. Well, one time he destroyed it with a flood. It was pretty bad then. I'm not saying build an ark, but I would build a life around the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved from this present evil age. They blame it on this one and that one. He blames it on Satan. Everybody has somebody they pick on to blame it on. But the fault lies with us. We have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. And what we need is forgiveness, and we need to experience the liberty that's found only in the person of Jesus Christ. But anyway, that's from the 4th tomorrow. So I don't know what you're doing on the 4th. I don't know how many people really care why we have a 4th. I don't know that. But if you were at Gettysburg when Lincoln gave his address, it must have been profound. Had to be profound. 23,000 Union soldiers, 28,000 Confederate soldiers died on those fields. You can't imagine that. It must have been horrible. The word came back to Lincoln, and he was advised, if he didn't already know, that he needed to say something. Something had to be done with that property. They had a politician there by the name of Edward Everett. He was a polished orator. Once the governor of Massachusetts. And Everett stood up in all his glory, and he spoke for 2 hours. 2 hours. You think it's hard putting up with me for 40 minutes? 2 hours. Nobody cares what he said or what he had to say. It meant absolutely nothing. Then it was Abraham Lincoln's turn, and he had a few things scribbled on a piece of paper, and he stood up in 271 words. Gave the Gettysburg Address. It was absolutely profound. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. In a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work, which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. We here rightly resolve that the dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth. 1863. Look at those cars out there. Man, some new ones, some flashy ones. Look at the place we live in. Look at the beauty we have. Look at the opportunities we've had. Think of the life that we've enjoyed, the pleasures. Because we benefited from what took place in 1863. We stand here today because of what took place way back then. It made us part of what we are today because that happened back in that day. We have benefited as Americans from what took place in 1776. What would our world be? Where would we be if we hadn't benefited from that? We have benefited from what took place in Normandy in 1944. We are reaping the benefit of all that as Americans. Most of all, to balance these two concepts, try to bring them together, we benefited from what took place on Calvary 2,000 years ago. It's our greatest benefit. So we should be thankful for those things that made us Americans, placed us here in this soil. We should also be thankful that we are Christians. What we have as Americans could be lost. As a matter of fact, 50% on either side believe we're heading in the wrong direction, so could be we lose it. But we could never lose the freedom that we have in Christ. In North Korea, there are Christians, and they're under a very harsh government. It's illegal to promote your faith in North Korea. And they suffer tremendously, but they believe. They won't give it up. And we have that in this country, too, with all the freedoms. You think we have more people that believe, but that's not the case. But what makes us different from the North Koreans? Why are they enslaved like that and we're not? I don't fully have the answer to that. I mean, I have some of it because I just stated that. Because of those who have gone on before who have made decisions. But God has a purpose for all that. And we have to leave that with Him sometimes. I did just a little research on the family tree. If that's accurate, I don't know. But anyway, it seems that my ancestors were loyalists. So they weren't on the same side as, well, most of your ancestors weren't on the same side either because they were in Acadia. What difference does it make, really, in the grand scheme of things, if you don't come to know Christ? It's just a little bit of time under some regime that's in existence. What really counts? Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And if you were in North Korea and you knew Christ, you understand liberty. And if you're an American and you know Christ, you understand liberty. Real liberty is being delivered from our sins, knowing that we're a child of God, and knowing that heaven is our home. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is in heaven. Must never forget that. According to that verse, there's a location, and that location is where the Spirit of the Lord is. That's the location. That's where you should be. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's the place to be. And in that verse, there's an opportunity, greatest opportunity. When people are presented with a clear demonstration of the gospel of Christ, it's the greatest opportunity they have, greatest. It's eternal. So when you think about location and think about opportunities, I think that verse answers those two things. And then there's John 3:16. We've heard that so many times. And I've repeated that so many times, but I never get tired of repeating it. I'd like to think that you never get tired of hearing it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Freedom from perishing. Freedom from perishing. I wouldn't want to hear this, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Oh, can't imagine. Can't go back, can't do it over again, not going to have a second chance. Years and years and years to do something about it, but didn't do anything. Freedom from perishing. Freedom to experience the love of God. That God loves us. such a big question mark in so many people's minds. Does God love us? How come death? How come suffering? How come this? How come that? If God loved us, this wouldn't happen to Jesus. If you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. Didn't you have this all figured out? But really, freedom to experience the love of God. God loves us. And God gives through. God loves the world. It's a strange thing for me when you watch protests and all the stuff that's going on. It's a strange thing to me that professing Christians, I should make sure I say that, can have so much hatred towards others who think differently. And you know what? God's not like that. God loves the world. Shouldn't we? And I wonder if we could make a difference in our world if we showed the world that we love them too. And we should. Because God did. God does. Doesn't look like it right now. God wins. If you played sports, when you're behind, you know, it's like, hate being behind. Game's not over. God told us about the future. God wins. Man doesn't win. World doesn't win. God wins. God wins. And God's giving and giving and giving. All we have to do is believe. Isn't that nice? I tell them that at the nursing home. I said, what if you had to have $10 million to get to heaven? How many here would go to heaven? Make it simple. What if you had to be good? What if you had to be good enough to go to heaven? What if you had to do like a lot of humanitarians that have spent their lifetime helping other people? What if you had to be like them? He said, no, I can't do it. It can't be done. Believe. Enter into that rest. The Bible calls it a rest. You enter into that rest. It's done. That's what the Sabbath was. The Sabbath was the work is done. It's complete. It's finished. No work that day. It's done. New Testament Sabbath was the work of Christ. It's finished. Don't add to that. Don't add your good works, your good looks. Don't add anything to that. It's done. You rest in that. Had a good rest. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Delivered from this present evil world. And all its hustle and bustle and confusion, strangeness. Delivered from that. Stay above that. Don't let that drown you. Don't let them drown you. It's not going to go away. Keep on swimming. If you get bit by a shark, punch it in the nose. It'll probably go away. It's the way it is. The way it is. Who gave himself? That's what he did. He gave himself. Can't give more than that. According to the will of God. It was so intense. Facing the crucifixion, so intense that he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In sin, it's just the pressures of being human. Even though he was God, he was still man. What's ahead? Cruel and ugly. But he did it for us. Gave himself as the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for sin. 2 Peter 2:19 says, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave of whatever has mastered him. Man is a slave for whatever has mastered him. 1970, Paul and I were in college and we were talking about the population explosion. It was a book, Population Explosion, became the Bible, their Bible. We had to get down to where every couple only had one child. We didn't have 20 years left. We didn't have 20 years left from 1970. I guess we'd have been gone by 1990. Still here for some reason or other. There are a lot more people around, but boy, we were taught you can't. Can't sustain this. Something really needs to be done about it. So, thinking we were wise, we adopted that zero population growth philosophy. Didn't know anything. Well, at least I didn't. You believed a lot of that stuff. The world coming to an end. They make fun of the guy out in the street with a sign. He's got the long beard and flour bags on and stuff. The end is near. They make fun of him. But the guy that's saying, we can't do another 20 years because of the environment, they don't make fun of him. Well, he's wrong, and they're wrong too. You know why? It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to God. And God has a plan for this planet, and it's at least, at a minimum, another 1,007 years, at a minimum. So Don't burn car tires and don't do stuff like that. But still, don't worry about it. It's not coming to an end. What we do have to worry about is people need to know the truth. And we need to be able to tell them the truth. But here's the verse. They promised them freedom. Freedom. People that believe the world's coming to an end, there's no freedom there. You're afraid all the time. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. There are so many masters that want to have followers. Like drugs. Every day, someone's overdosed by drugs and they die. Between the ages of 20 and 40, there are an incredible number of people falling prey to the use and misuse of drugs. Drugs mastered their life. Drugs put them right into the grave. But that was their master. Some people it's the bottle. Some people it's pornography. And some people it's sports, video games, you name it. But it masters them. Takes their mind, takes their desires, takes their will, and it really controls their life. Or to be mastered by God. How about him for a master? They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. They say, do this and you'll just be so much better off. But that's not true. That's not true. Girl was taken out of a cult down Texas, was in a cult, escaped, got out of there. Reprogrammed, deprogrammed, I don't know what. Time went on, went back into the cult. Couldn't get away from it. Mastered by it. So, who's our master? Who is our master? Who masters us? Well, that verse is very clear about that, isn't it? Can you imagine 51,000 dead in a battle? Can't imagine that. You just can't imagine that. The cost of that. Man, I think of Christianity. There was an article just the other day I read that patriotism is like on the way out. 4th of July, a lot of places they're canceling now. They're protesting against it and all that kind of thing. That's our world we live in. People forget the cost. They forget what's gone on before. Care is gone. What did it cost? What did our freedom cost? What did our freedom cost Jesus? What did our freedom cost his disciples? What did our freedom cost Stephen, who was martyred, first martyr? And the millions have been martyred since that time. What did it cost? Those missionaries that spent their lives on foreign fields. What about the one that brought the gospel to us? What was the cost? There had to be a cost. There is a cost. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the Apostle Paul's personal testimony. That's his emphasis. Paul saying, this is what happened to me. I was crucified with Christ. Because when Christ was crucified, he took all my sins upon himself. And I live my life in relation to that. That's how I live. That's a high standard. None of us have ever reached it. Probably. I don't know, but I don't think so. But all of us should try. All of us should try. The sin issue has been dealt with. He dealt with that. All we do is live for him. But you can't say he dealt with that and all I got to do is live for me. Live for me. I have some ideas about living for me. Probably most of you wouldn't appreciate. But that'd be living for me. Am I going to live for me? Or am I going to live for him? A lot of the problems that we're confronted with are because people make bad choices. They live for them, and they don't live for him. And when you do that, you made a bad choice. It's the world we live in. The cost. The remembrance. Just a kind of a problem they had, the children of Israel, coming out of Egypt, being delivered from bondage, and going through the wilderness and being instructed by God. We talk about an environment. You imagine what they thought when God's will was expressed. He said, remember when you were a servant in the land of Egypt that the Lord brought you out? He told that to them. You think, well, That's the first generation. Of course they remember. Why is that important? Well, why is the 4th of July important? Why is that important? Right? Let it go. Have a better world. I don't think so. What about Christians? Some of my favorite words, two words, I forgot. I go down to the storage room to pick up something. By the time I get down there, I forgot what it was. Sometimes I have to walk back, and I'm just walking back. It's out there loose-like, and it comes into my head. Oh, yeah, pickles. I go back down. We know you turn 70, and people over 70, they act like that. My sister was in the other day, and she thought I was like that when I was 5. She thinks that some of her kids are like that. It must be inherited or something. Is it possible to forget that tremendous experience? And you know, we're told to remember that too. Don't forget that. We're going through the Bible now for the 5th time or 6th time. I can't remember now. See, I told you. Why are we doing that? Because we forget. We forget where we came from. Don't forget where you came from. A friend of mine, they're having a special event back in my old hometown, and he said, Gary, we're going to probably give you a call, come and say something or whatever. Probably say grace, or I don't know what it is. But anyway, if that happens and I go back there, and I've done that before, gone back there for some event, it's very emotional. So the last time was their centennial or something, and I was on this platform they had made, and I was supposed to say a prayer or something. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, they had like an honor guard of the old veterans. And I looked down there, and there was a veteran there. He was in the second wave in Normandy. And his sons, one on each side of him, both veterans, with the flag positioned in front of them. It just touched me. I thought, I know these people. I grew up here. I never knew he was a veteran that was in Normandy. And he never talked about that. But that's back where I came from. And we as Christians, we have to think back where we came from. And we don't want to forget where we came from. We don't want to put it out of our mind, out of our hearts. We want to remember that. Because by remembering that, we remember what we've been delivered from. And we shouldn't forget that. And what we have now because of that deliverance. The way he led, Deuteronomy again. He said, you remember the way in which the Lord led you. Led. I remember that. I remember people leading us into a way of thinking. I remember some led us into a way of trouble. We were led into that trouble. We were led by a lot of different forces. But then, Jesus leads. Into what? Now that you've had a little life experience, you look back over your life, you're a Christian, how long you've been a Christian, how's he been doing? We sing that little, he's still working on me. Well, good, because there's a lot to do. But at least he's working, right? He didn't give up. Still working. So we're studying through the Bible. We're studying Abraham, the father of all who believe. Some disappointing things there, huh? If you're looking at Abraham for the first time, you're like, whoa, wasn't perfect, was he? Nope. God give up? No. How about the nation of Israel? How'd they do? I mean, the bulk of the Old Testament is written about them. A lot of the New Testament is written about them. How did they do? Not that good. No, they failed miserably. Did God give up on them? Is God done with Israel? No, he's not. Now, they have no room for the gospel, that's for sure, in the nation. But one of these days, there'll be 144,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. They're going to take the gospel message out into the world. Yeah. According to most people, it's after the rapture takes place, the church is gone. It's during the Great Tribulation period, but there's a multitude. It says a multitude from every nation, tribe in the world. So they're going to be tremendous. And then it says, and they will look upon him whom they have pierced as a nation. They will look upon him whom they have pierced. So, he didn't give up on Abraham. He didn't give up on Israel. Now we have the church. Well, we're doing great. It's wonderful. No, not doing great. church has been struggling for 2,000 years. The letters written to those early churches, well, like Galatians, why was it written? Because they had problems. They were into a false gospel. Had to be addressed. Revelation, those seven churches. There are only two of those churches you'd even want to attend. Not the rest. But there it is. No. It's an ongoing work. It's ongoing. It's not done. Wouldn't it be great? We've done it all. We've gone through all 66 books of the Bible. We've memorized verses. There's no other place to go. We're good. No, we're not. No, we're not. You got to keep going. You got to keep going. But being led, yeah, it's amazing sometimes. The victories that were won. And know you this day, I speak not with your children which have not known, and which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his stretched out arm. I'll tell you something. If you bring a child into this world and you are a Christian, and that child is growing up, the greatest impact that will be felt on that child's life is that you've had an experience with God. You've had such an experience with God that every opportunity you get, you share that with your son or daughter. They won't get that in Sunday school. No, really, they won't. They won't get that in the morning service. They'll get that from you, sharing what happened to you in your life and why you are what you are today. That'll have the greatest influence on their life. Now, we do have Sunday school, and we do have services. But there's nothing like experience, seeing it done. What a blessing that you've experienced victory in your life, and because you've experienced victory in your life, you can pass it on to others. Somebody said a person can be free even within prison walls. Freedom is something spiritual. Whoever once had it can never lose it. There are some people who are never free outside of prison. The body can be bound with chains. The spirit, never. It's a great quote. Hope I get old enough someday to have my own quotes. I think I had one once, but I forgot what it was. But maybe if I Google it, somebody else had it already. It was still original with me. It's the fourth. I don't know if they're having anything in town or not. I forgot to ask, but we'll get that in early because that could be. Should be. Don't forget where we came from. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the finished work of Christ. We thank you for what took place on Calvary. What a blessing for us as Christians. We thank you that we are Americans. We live in this country. We've experienced freedom. That freedom has come at a cost for which we're grateful. May we always be mindful of that. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.